8.4 has arrived, and myself, along with a handful of other players, have become Valiant. So I'm going to talk about 8.4 and also a very interesting decision with my roster in order to become Valiant and why I did it. This is the MCO CME podcast, and I'm your host, Zach Rossi. Coming to you guys here from Vancouver. Just got done with rehearsals for the upcoming tour that I'm on. It's a work in progress, but it's going to be really, really awesome once we get everything nailed down. Speaking of nailing things down, Act 8.4 has gone live. It went live on Wednesday, and a lot of players, including myself, definitely took advantage of it, and we kind of breezed through it very efficiently. I found myself actually getting through it. I started part of it on Wednesday night, and then I finished it all on Thursday. It was that easy to do because they've also kind of sort of minimized how many paths there are as compared to previous acts and chapters, and it's more streamlined, it's more efficient, and I kind of like it that way. And also the rewards that you get per path are really interesting because they kind of mix and match certain things. So I'm not going to get into the boss fight just yet. I'm going to kind of wait on that just a little bit, just only because I want to talk about the chapters themselves. And just, I did an episode about prepping yourself up for this, you know, whole Act 8.4, either exploration or completion, whichever you needed to do. But the three boss fights per chapter are not that bad. They really are not that bad because, honestly, if you read the nodes, if you bring in the right counter, you're going to be fine. Plus, you can also switch out a champion right before the boss fight. The main thing you need to do is make sure whenever you choose a path, and I would say the path that starts with gold is the easiest, and the ones that have the 7-star shards are the hardest. So all you got to do is just read the nodes. Read the fine print. I'll say this over and over again, but it's true. Read the fine print, and it'll make your life a whole heck of a lot easier in the exploration and completion of Act 8.4, because there are certain paths that have the whole weapon, and you have to either disarm it and acquire it, or there's other kind of like weird random node combinations that if you pick the right champion or champions, you could kind of just cheese the whole thing. But, you know, like I said, you just got to kind of take a step back, read it, and make sure you're doing it effectively. Much like the final boss fight of Glycan. I think that's how you say it. Glycan? Glycon? Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat 2? I'm going to go with Glycon. Let's use that. But before I got into this boss fight, there is a YouTuber and a Twitter guy that I follow named Drew Samuto, or Samuto. Once again, if I pronounce it incorrectly, I am so sorry. But if you are not following his channel, you're doing yourself a disservice because he has a ton of different champion guides and boss guides to make your life in this boss battle really, really easy. Because if you do not know what the fight is all about, you're going to get your ass kicked. You're going to spend a lot of revives, a lot of units, and you're going to have a bad time. If you pizza when you should have french fried, you're going to have a bad time. Just saying. But go check out his channel. He breaks down the boss fight in a great way. It's very detailed. It's very efficient. And if I'm going to give you kind of like a poor man's explanation of it, because Drew does a much better job than I do, basically what you want to do is you want to punish heavies and you want to punish special attacks with your attacks. And by having a striker in your back pocket, you can kind of chain together a lot of damage. A lot of champions that are really going to benefit from this fight are champions that you have access to prowess buffs, especially passive prowess buffs. I'm talking like Toad or Storm Pyramid X. Domino's a really great option as well. So is Gambit. If you haven't seen X-Men 97 yet, you'll Gambit, he does the ultimate taking one for the team action in my book. But any of those champions that have access to a active or a passive prowess will do really, really well. And all you really got to do is just kind of, you got to earn these punishments, if you will, either by stunning the opponent, hitting into their block, using a striker, intercepting, and using a special attack. This is not an episode about breaking down the boss fight, but that's kind of the gist of it. Like I said, go check out Drew's channel. I saw a lot of different guides he just does the best job with it. He gives you everything you need to know and more, and it'll save you a whole heck of a lot of time and effort. And once I got through doing the boss fight three times, because it's three paths per chapter, what I did was I worked backwards. So I did the initial completion, then I got done with 8.4.6, and then just worked from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. And then finally, I was done. Because the big thing that I was chasing after was that class rank up gem for a 7-star from 2 to 3. Now, if you have been a Paragon player for a while, if you have been out there kind of like, you know, grinding for content and putting in the time and effort to get certain things, if you have done one pass of the Necropolis, you already have access to a 2 to 3 class gem of whomever you choose. In my case, the first one that I got was Mystic. So I kind of sat on that one. I waited. My 7-star Mystic roster is not really that impressive. It's just kind of meh. But through the acquisition of rewards and the whole Deadpool thing from the Necropolis, I was able to get myself a Wakan, and he's been really, really good. So I actually took him right to rank 3 as soon as I got him. That was like, okay, I got the Mystic gem, already got one down, just waiting on the other one. And I kind of had a feeling that history was going to repeat itself, and it did. I ended up getting a second Mystic 2 to 3 7-star rank up gem. And I was a little disappointed only because I was hoping for either mutant or tech or science or skill, because I was sitting on a Titania, a Shuri, a Domino, and an Elsa Bloodstone. Those are four really fun champions and great champions that I use regularly in all sorts of different content. But I had a Mystic, so I didn't know what to do. So when I was able to choose a 7-star class gem, I decided to go with Mystic, hoping that my luck would change. It kind of did, kind of didn't. I was able to pull a 7-star Kindred, which is cool. I'm going to use them in Battlegrounds, but I don't really use them a whole heck of a lot for anything else. He just kind of is a defender spot in my roster. But I decided to kind of pivot my thinking a little bit, because I was looking at my roster and I was sitting on a 7-star rank 1 newly awakened Deathless Guillotine. Now, for those of you who are probably moaning and groaning over this decision, hear me out as to why I did it. Obviously, number one, I had the gem and the resources. So she fits the bill. She's a Mystic champion. And I would say out of whom I have right now, I mean, I could have gone with my Awakened Mangog. I could have gone with Mordo. Could have, you know, if I really wanted to, I could have gone with Kindred. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Deathless Guillotine, because here's the thing. I have her Awakened, and that's a really cool part of her kit. If you don't know what her Awakened ability does, it's the same thing as what OG Guillotine used to be. And when I say OG Guillotine, it's because she got a buff and it changed her kit up, in a very unique way. So with Deathless Guillotine, the cool thing is that with her Awakened ability, you can siphon health from the defender. So if I find myself in a spot where I'm kind of getting my ass kicked, there's a chance that I can steal some health from the opponent. That's really cool. Also, here's the thing. She has got degeneration on critical hits, which I'm telling you, has been so much fun to use against a myriad of different champions. Just today, I was playing a match in Battlegrounds. The opponent put in Iceman. I brought in Deathless Guillotine, because you know why? Iceman is not immune to degeneration. And plus, I could regain some of that health back from his Frostbite passives. Play chess, not checkers. Just saying. And I ended up winning the fight, and it was, I won it with a fair bit of health remaining, and I was able to do some really good damage. I also have a Ghost Rider relic on her with degeneration, so it's like, that's, the damage just flies. It's a lot of fun. It's really, really cool. And the other cool thing about her, too, is that if I am dealing with a pesky champion that has regeneration, I just throw a special 2 on there, and she's got the ability to reverse healing, but also kind of just, like, do damage at the same time with it because it's a Spectre debuff. So when I am going up against a Hulkling or, like, a Wolverine Weapon X, any of those, you know, like, an infamous Iron Man, any of those champions that can just regenerate health, I'm not too worried because she can do all that. So what I decided to do was make her a rank 3 champion. And that pushed me into becoming Valiant. And I put a Twitter post about it. And it was kind of, it was funny. It was met with, like, I would say borderline mixed reviews, because a couple people were like, oh, that's a bold decision. That's interesting. Okay, well, you know, it's your roster. You do you. And then there were some people who were like, dude, that's a flex move. That's a great move. Like, way to do something unique. And yeah, it was unique. And my buddy Elston, actually, we were talking the other day because he's kind of in a situation where he's got several different champions that he wants to take up to rank 3. And it would put him in the Valiant title as well. So he was asking me my 2 cents about it. And my 2 cents is always for free because I come with 10. But what I told him was, and this is kind of important to understand too, once you make that leap into being it's from Paragon to a Valiant player, you're going to get some more rewards that are going to help kind of, I would say, expedite that process of making rank 3s happen. Just from even doing the daily crystals, I found myself getting a ton of rank up materials and some 7-star shards to just kind of, you know, add to my roster and grow. Also, the really cool thing was once I became a Valiant player, it opened up the last 2 objectives on the Winter of Woe finale. So I was able to get more Titan shards and some more rank up materials as well. So as you can see, it opens up a whole different bag of rewards for players, especially in the new side quest stuff right now, because I had been used to being a Paragon player for so long that when I went to the store, the Trader's Outpost, my rewards were different. I was able to acquire some really cool different things to just, you know, really beef up my roster. And that is why I think if you have the resources right now to become a Valiant player, just do it. And don't worry about whomever you choose to take up to rank 3. Obviously, if you can find a champion that you use frequently that you really, really enjoy, take him or her up. I mean, there's so many players out there with spreadsheets and all sorts of, like, opinions on, like, oh, you should definitely do this and not that. Like, you know, I was reading this one thing where someone was like, oh, Deathless Guillotine, that's a stupid thing to do. You know, why would you waste your resources on that? I can't believe you blew the gem on that. Look, here's the deal. It's my roster. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want with it. So your roster, you can do whatever the hell you want with it as well, too. I'm pretty sure that sooner than later, I'll end up getting enough resources to get another rank 3. And it'll probably be either my Elsa Bloodstone or my Domino or my Titania or my Shuri, or maybe I just decide to go in a different direction with whomever else I have. Bottom line is this. Once you make the leap into a different hierarchy, the rewards just seem to come your way. You're not kind of like sort of clawing and scratching for things. They just come to you. And you'll find yourself ranking up and acquiring more champions at a pretty decent, I would say frequency, if you will. Because I remember when I became Thronebreaker, that took a little while. But once I got it, I found myself, you know, getting rank 3s and rank 4s like nothing. Same thing with Paragon. Once I got into Paragon, I found myself just acquiring some, you know, rank 3s and rank 4s and even rank 5s like it was nothing either. So, you know, you just pull the trigger on it. Don't wait, just do it. Because some, you know, really cool objectives and rewards will open up for you. And it's nice to have that title because that's the highest thing that we have right now in the game. And I can only imagine what you'll be getting throughout the summer and the fall and the winter. And plus, like, it's just cool to have. Just do it. But that's it for tonight. Just want to get some sleep on my end because we've been really kind of burning the candle at both ends here with rehearsals. But just to kind of wrap this up, Act 8.4, if you haven't explored it yet, go ahead and do it. Try to do everything else so you can get all the really good rewards that are out there. Drew Simoto, go check out his channel for the Act 8.4 final boss fight. And if you can become Valiant, I would say just do it. Pick a champion that you really enjoy. Don't listen to the talking heads out there. Just have fun. It's your roster. Like I said, you will find yourself acquiring more champions sooner than later and ranking them up as well. This is the MCOCME podcast, and I'll talk to you all next time.